Congregation, the first chapters of the book of Genesis tell us much about God, but also about man. We have seen it before that God has made man in his image, his likeness, resembling God in knowledge, righteous holiness. We have seen that God has made man out of the dust and breathed the spirit of life in his nostrils, and he became a living soul. The first chapter speaks about marriage, about sin, about work, much about who we people are, but also that we must die. We haven't talked about that much yet, about the death of people. We must breathe out the last breath and go to our eternal destiny. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We must die, we will be buried the best, and have to be before God. You have sinned against the Lord. You're in a cave, remember? And there's fear. How do I get out of here? I fear to go underwater and to escape. It's hard. It's frightening. And that's life. So often life is said, how do I get out of here? I want to live. Life is so uncertain. We think about life, we think about death, we think about sin, we think of God, and sometimes you're frightened and fear are in bondage and held back, and we can rejoice, and there's something bothering us. It's in our neck, it's in our shoulders, it's in our back. Some carry a burden and struggle and fight to live, to physically live and spiritually live. Or we need someone to deliver us, to get us out of that cave, to take that fear away, that you don't panic. And that's our text about this morning. Hebrews 2, verse 15 is the main text. Hebrews 2, verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See the three thoughts in there? I read it again and you try to find the three thoughts. And deliver them who through fear of death, but all their lifetime subject to bondage. So how to deal with death is the theme. Three thoughts. The reality of death, right? Through fear of death. It's the first thought. The reality. It is going to happen. We are going to die. The reality of death, and why? Secondly, a lifelong fear of death. Lifelong. All the lifetime subject to bondage in that fear. Lifelong fear of death. And then the third thought, delivered from the bondage of death. So how we deal with death, the reality of death, a lifelong fear of death, delivered from bondage of death. Congregation, if you don't understand who we are, if you don't realize that we must die someday, we can talk about our soul and body, responsibility and marriage and what life is about. We don't understand life. We don't understand life and ourselves if we bypass death. we must take that into consideration, that we are mortal people. So we realize who we are and what we are in need of, and it humbles us and makes us more dependent. We must realize our mortality. Not to become depressed, but to be delivered from the fear of death, having us in bondage. So that's why parents are sometimes frightened about a little son and daughter. What's happening? I don't want him to die. I want my child to live. There is fear going to the hospital, having surgery and treatments. There is fear all the time and trembling, even when the Lord gives faith and hope. There is still that anxiety. We are like those boys trapped in the cave in Thailand. There's fear, there's darkness, low quality air. How do I get out of here? That fear of death. And we do our best to stay healthy. We do our best to survive. We'd like to become old. Some don't want to talk about and don't want to think about death, but we are travelers. We are temporarily here on earth. We must be for a while and then leave and close the door behind us and go to our eternal destiny. It's going to happen. We must realize that, and the best thing is to deal with it instead of ignoring it. So let me quote from the Bible a few things about death in general, and may the Lord let it sink in. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered. Once offered. Christ was once offered. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. Not someday, but once. Not twice, not three times, or 100 times, only one time. We die only once. We are appointed to once die. So you can't have experience and say, well, I did it before. Went through myself in the past. I'm getting used to it. It'll be the first time and the last time. And it's appointed unto men. It is so certain. I read in 1 Chronicles, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days are on the earth as a shadow, and there is none abiding. We all get our turn. You too. Think of yourself, please. You get your turn. I too. I must die someday. You're closing my eyes, and I don't move anymore. And none is abiding. Behold, thou hast made my day as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. A handbreadth. And what did the old Reverend Verhoef say about that years ago? It's not a handbreadth like this, but like this. What he said? I heard. It's so close by, a hand breath. It's around the corner. And some one of us this morning will be first. No idea who that will be. You? Think about it. It could be you I challenge you to think about that. You must die someday, sooner or later. And it could be your turn this week. We read in James, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't vanish away, really, but we leave this life. And you know the cause, right? People can drink champagne when they hear about the disease and they must die. People act so strangely about death, not realizing why death has come into this life. Why don't we have flowers on the casket? Why are we not more joyful and happy about, why don't we celebrate life? Because you know why death has come. Death is a penalty. Death is a consequence of our rebellion against God. And it's the right answer. You're warned. As mankind in our covenant had Adam, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt die the death, it says in the original. Two times death. It's our disobedience. Sinned against the holy, worthy, loving, well-meaning God. That's the answer. God loves himself. And as you know from explanation before, wrath and love are close. God loves so much and cares so much there's wrath. God has organized mankind in a certain way, organized in such a way that one man's sin will be our sin. So through one man, sin came into the world and death came to this world. What are you thinking, young friend? Why is Adam's sin my sin? He has to die. Why do I have to die? That's not fair, right? But you know, it's God's wisdom, God's way of doing things. And there is something very positive in there. One man's obedience can become our obedience. And if one man's sin cannot be our sin, then one man's obedience cannot be our obedience. So we don't believe in evolution theory. Man was made in God's image and holiness, righteousness, and perfection. And he sinned against him. Death was not natural. There was no death before the fall. In the state of rectitude, and we rebelled against God. And death is a consequence of that. Romans 5, in case you think this is only our theology. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Or think of Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it is inevitable. You must deal with it. To Samuel 14, for we must needs die. And at God's time, at his time, not 1 minute earlier, and not a little bit later. We are immortal up to that time of God's decree. Nothing can happen until the time that God has said, that's the time, that the time has been set already. God knows that time, and you won't go over that time. And that was true for the Lord Jesus himself. He was not going to die too early and not too late. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet until the feast, unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. But our time will come. And then we have to deal with that. And you know, last thing, in the first thought, there's a threefold death. It's not only a physical death. The root of it is a spiritual death. We cut ourselves off from God. We separate ourselves. We divorced God. That's a separation of the soul and the body, but of God and man. And there is also an eternal death. Reality of death. Second thought, a lifelong fear of death. Let us look at the previous verse, verse 14. Look at the context. 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil has the power of death, it says. Really? So, but Satan cannot kill and destroy people at his pleasure, does he? No. But Satan introduced sin. And he brought death into the world. He is the murderer, right? From the beginning. And he has tempted Adam and Eve to sin, and he's still doing that. He's still tempting people. Still letting people be very shallow, that they don't think and sleep and continue to sleep in the sleep of death, and to make people despondent and discouraged and hopeless. Well, he points to our soiled garments, says, you think you can be saved? And he also creates then fear. Not childlike fear, but slavish fear. He terrifies people, affrights with death, and deliver them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who are they? Who are those? Them. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who are they? Some say that's everyone. Well, in a sense, yes. We all have more or less fear of death. And that's something that belongs to life, our whole life. There's something of that bondage. Even atheists and people not believing in anything, they still have that fear. It's quite common. Fear of death. It's so unnatural to die. We were made to live, right? So all people have something of that fear of death, especially if you are not saved. But some say this refers specifically to the Jewish people in that time. I don't know about that. But I agree that some people, due to their religion, have fear and they must work hard. And it's that fear that drives them to behave, because I must die. And it's that constant pressure, you must do well because there is a hell. You must earn your salvation and do it yourself and perform good works. And there is that constant pressure in the Jewish religion, a Roman Catholic religion, and some other religions, that fear of death, and even God's people, when they're awakened, right? When the Lord wakes someone up and gives a new heart, that person begins to realize, right? I must die. I have a soul. I can't stay here all the time. I must become prepared. Eyes are opened for the reality of life and death. So that's also part of that. And also think of physical needs and pain, fear of death. It's quite a common theme in the Bible. If you fear death, you're not alone. And you feel that bondage, the sorrows of death compassed me, surrounded me. And the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Psalm 116. The sorrows of death compass me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called unto my Lord, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him. You probably remember Hezekiah the king. He had a very serious disease, a pining sickness, lots of pain and distress, and he thought, I'm not going to make it. And he turned his face to the wall. Kind of, nobody can help me. Turned his face to his wife and servants. He did not have children. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall be old man no more, where the inhabitants of the world have to say goodbye to this entire world. I'm leaving. As a lion will he break my bones. From day even to night will they make an end of me like a crane, a bird, or a swallow, so that I chatter. I did mourn as a dove, mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Why is death so frightening? Why do people fear? Because we feel, you know, soul, it's a consequence of sin. It's unnatural. And it's something you go through by yourself, alone. Absolutely alone. Your wife can be your side, your husband, your child, your father. You have to go by yourself. And that's a lonely trip. We also leave so much behind. Your business, all you accomplished, it's over. It's worth nothing. You can take a dime along. And you have to say goodbye to your beloved ones and leave. That's so hard to separate yourself, to say goodbye. And there are those sorrows for your offspring and for the ones you leave behind. Oh, there's fear. What's the heart of it, of that fear? What would you say? To meet with God. To encounter Him. To give account for every idle word you've spoken. To face God. Having to answer questions. And to feel so guilty. And to realize you have no right to live. And you're worthy of hell. And nothing to defend yourself with. Realizing that God is asking for His image. He made us in His image. Oh, and then eternity begins. Long eternity. No end to that. And what will it be when the dream of life is over? And the reality begins. You know, some people, I said before, think that this life is the real life. And after that is a spiritual life. Something not so real. Not so tangible. It's the other way around. This life is a dream. This life is temporary. This life is preparatory time for eternity. This is not the real life yet. This is only school. And then at the time of death, life begins, like the graduates, right? They have the feeling school is now behind me, and now life begins. Well, life begins at eternity. We're only migrants, temporary migrants, and nobody can stay here. So fear of death, is that sinful to fear? Is that something we should frown upon and say, you may not be afraid, you should have faith. You should have courage. You should be happy. Well, was the Lord Jesus fearful or not? Or He began to be very sorrowful and heavy. And He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. So the Lord Jesus was fearful and sorrowful, even unto that was that human anxiety. So for example, think of someone who is frightened and someone is holding a gun to his head. And suppose that person is a child of the Lord and prepared. Prepared for eternity. And at that time has assurance. Would that person not shake? Or it is possible to be shaking, be terrified in a sense, and yet believe. Fear, lifelong fear. God's children even have that fear again and again. But the Lord came to deliver and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let's talk about the third thought. To be delivered from that fear of death. Let's first talk about it objectively and then subjectively. What's that? What is objectively and subjectively? Well, very simple. Someone can feel sick after surgery. And the doctor can say, we got everything. So, objectively, the cancer was taken out. You're fine. But I feel so sick yet. Yes, that's normal. And so the Lord can take the cause away and deliver factually from that bondage of death and sin and save a person. And the person can still fear subjectively. So let's first see how God delivers. And then how God's children feel. I have to go back to the context again. Chapter 2 of Hebrews speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ's humanity. He took upon him the human nature, right? He became man, flesh and blood, like his brethren. Equal to his brethren in all things, sin accepted, the Lord Jesus Christ became man. He came down from heaven, took upon himself our nature. Why? Not only to obey and to show God and to fulfill the law. Not only to suffer, but to die. The Lord Jesus came to earth with the human nature to die, to so deliver them. Look at verse 14 again. For as much then as the children, God's children, are partakers of flesh and blood, we have flesh and blood, right? He also himself, likewise, took part of the same. He took part of the same, that through death, he's going to die, that through his death, he might destroy him. That at the power of death is the devil. So it is about the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in victory, and he delivered, he destroyed him that had the power of death. It is the devil. And he said, it's finished. And he died victoriously. And he rose from the dead. He conquered hell and death. He took the sting out. So now for all them that follow him, death is an entrance into life eternal. It's a blessed death. He took the sting out. He delivered from that bondage of death. The Lord Jesus Christ did. Think about that. Consider that. You're fearful of the Lord Jesus Christ dying and suffering and sacrificing and destroying him at the power of death. And deliver them through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. I was reading this week from Pilgrim's Progress. Those last pages about death. I'm going to summarize that for you. Now I noticed that between them and the gate there was a river. So Christian and hopeful are standing there. And the other side was the gate. And there was a river in between. Now I noticed that between them and the gate was a river. But there was no bridge to cross it. And the river was very deep. Think of death. Think of you facing, you standing there. The river. No bridge. Very deep. At the sight of this river, the pilgrims were stunned. But the men who were with them said, "You must go through. You must go through, or you cannot get to the gate." Are you trembling? Thinking, "No, I have to go through the river. I have to go through that deep river someday." And you too. And there is very deep, no bridge. You must go through, or you cannot get to the gate. "Are the waters all the same depth?" Christian asked. "No. You will find it deeper or shallower according to your faith in the king of the palace. When your faith is stronger, the water is shallower. When the faith is weak, it feels so deep." So they waded into the water. Hopeful had courage, but Christian not. Great darkness and horror fell upon him, so that he could not see before him and could not remember any blessing received in the past. Nothing. Greatly troubled with the sins he had committed. And he saw the gate. And Hopeful said, "See, they're waiting for us." And Christian said, "No, they're waiting for you, not for me." And Hopeful continued to speak to his friend, "Be of good cheer. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." And then suddenly, Christian receives insight. "Oh, I see him again." And he tells me, "Hear his voice, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." So the Lord blessed the encouragement of his friend. He took courage. He found ground to stand on. And the rest of the river was shallow. Thus they crossed over. They left their mortal garments behind in the river. And they climbed through the air to that place where they can walk, I'm just quoting, where they can walk and talk. Every day with the King, all days of eternity. And they had to hand in their certificate. And it was approved. See? That's the experience. Some are going through the river easier, like Hopeful. And others more difficult. But they all will come on the other side. Because the Lord has said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That's true for all God's people. I will be with thee through the waters. They shall not overflow thee. And thou walkest through the fire. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Or think of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So practically, someday you will have to deal with this. Maybe today, or tomorrow, or this week, or maybe next year. We must die. Prepare to meet thy God. Don't tuck it away. Deal with it up front. Be honest with yourself. And realize that. Consider this to meet with your Maker. And realize that you need an advocate, an attorney, someone to undertake for you, to sign a certificate with his blood. The Savior, Jesus Christ, you need to know him. So he goes with you through the waters. So he is there for you and defends you and having paid for you. Think of that Lord Jesus Christ. Consider his willingness to save people, to save sinners. Open your Bible and try to find him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who destroyed him, the power of death, the devil. Contemplate what heaven will be like. To always walk and talk with him. Having communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or flee unto him. With all your sins. With all your wickedness. With all your sins in the past. And all the sins of youth, and all the sins you have, all together, fleeing unto the Savior Jesus Christ, whosoever, what a word, huh? Whosoever, no limitations, no conditions, whosoever believeth in him will not perish, will not perish. I go back to Pilgrim's Progress. I see someone else going through the river. His name is Ignorance. He went through the river with only half of the difficulties of Christian. And so easy, the death. And he came to the other side. And they asked for his certificate. And he had none. He died so easy. Had no certificate. And there was apparently a way from heaven, from that gate, to hell. And he was sent that way. Seek the Lord. And if you're no stranger to that grace, contemplate it and live holy lives. The holier God's children live and the closer they are, the easier it goes. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail and fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Close life is often an easy death. And even God's children, a straying life, a life not so close, is often accompanied with much strife. The heart of it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He was a partaker of flesh and blood, beloved Lord Jesus. He took flesh and blood. He also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, as the power of death, there is the devil, and deliver them objectively, but also subjectively, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like to his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation of the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them, to help them, to succor them that are tempted. Seek him and live. Amen. Lord, we may feel invincible, resist this, don't want to talk about death and sin, it's too gloomy, too dark, too depressing. Maybe you'd like to hear something else, something more positive. And yet, Lord, how positive this is, thy holy word, dealing head on with the most important things of life and death. We beseech thee, Lord, apply the message, and may we die before we have to die, and seek the Lord Jesus Christ and find him. It is crucial, it is something we cannot miss, we must have, as we must die. Lord, oh, come with thy spirit and apply to the hearts of the young friends as well, boys and girls, the children, Lord, give them to seek the Lord before it is too late. Remember us the rest of this day. Bring safely back home and back to thy house. In Jesus' name alone, amen.